My greetings tonight to President Tucker and to his wife, Dr. Atta, and the board, and the rest of the pastors and their wives, and the workers, and those that are involved in the work of the Lord in his vineyard, wherever he has you. I think about myself. I don't know if anyone will ever catch up with me in age at this point, but I think that I probably have a head start on some, all right? Because of that, every time I go to speak, I say, Lord, this might be my last time. Be sure you speak to me what you want me to share, not what the people want to hear. I'm not in competition. All right? The only person that I answer to is the Lord. All right? And that's where it all begins, and that's where it all ends. And I understand that. And I appreciate the privilege of speaking with you, sharing with you the things that we have. Yes, I'm an older gentleman, but I tell you what, I have a lot of wounds on this old soldier, a lot of scars, all right? But the thing is, we want to be obedient at the end. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. It's how we finish. And I'm very much aware of that. And I thank the Lord for what he's done for us. And, you know, we have to give credit where credit is due. And my credit is not only to the Lord, but it's to the one who works alongside of me, my dear little wife. And I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her, what the Lord has placed at my side, and I understand that. And I totally appreciate her and love her dearly and know very well that the prayers that have been with her and to the Lord for me, I have been the recipient of that, and I acknowledge that, and I acknowledge her presence. Thank you, honey. All right. We want to look at what the Lord shared on my heart, and it would be pulling your God-given weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. I am not talking about your physical weight. I am not talking about your physical weight. I am talking about your God-given weight. And we're going to put that clearly so you understand what we're talking about. You know, we have a great deal of athletes, and they're trying to endure their body to the end degree. And I saw something, and it got my attention, and the Lord said, I want you to pay attention to that. And this person was on an incline, and they had a harness around their shoulders, around their waist. And behind them, they were pulling a weight of cement, and they were going up a hill. And I was watching them, and the strain of their body. The veins were sticking out in their neck, and the muscles in the body, and they were just doing this. And I was listening to the commentator, to what he had to say about this. And he said that they know that their competition is going to be very, very hard. And so they're pushing their body to the very limit that it can possibly be, so that when their conflict or when combat is, they will be the stronger of the two. Now, if you can just get that, they put weight on there to they can possibly take another step. And I want to put that into a spiritual sense tonight, that the Lord knows what we are going to face, and we're going to face opposition like we have never faced before. It's going to be very, very strong, more than what we can handle. And so what the Lord is doing, he's putting us through his weight on our spirits, so we could test our spirits, that our spirits would be strengthened. would be strengthened so that when we come face to face with that which we have not faced before, it's our enemies that we have to be combat with. And we need to understand that what we're going through is for a reason. It's for a reason. And I looked at this little story, and so I want to go along with it. And the very first little point is to lay aside the weights. Lay aside the weights. And we could read that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, lay aside the weights. The other day, I lifted up a bicycle with one hand. People are riding these bikes, and they make it the very light as it can possibly be, because that will help them win. And then they turn around, and they put on the least part of garments you've ever seen to ride their bike. And I'm saying, you know, it gets kind of disgusting that they're laying aside all these weights so that they can be the winner. And, you know, we want to look at these things to lay aside all these weights. You know, we have to do what we can do to lay aside the weights so that they will not contribute to what God wants to do with the spiritual weight that he puts on our spirit. There is a difference. There is a difference, and we have to come to grips with it, all right? Why must we be ready to go on? And I want to look at some notable weights, notable weights. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. He may please him who has to be a soldier. And, you know, I found out something I'm going to leave with you. Prosperity weakens our spirit. Prosperity weakens our spirit. You know, we as pastors, we have homes, we have cares, we have things we have to deal with. And I live in a state where everyone seemingly has a home, seemingly has one or two cars, and they have a good job. And prosperity is that they're doing well. But I've learned something from my own self. When I was pastoring, and the Lord was speaking to me about where I live. And I had an opportunity to buy a house. And with it, I said, well, I can make money buying that house because I can do this with it and do that with it. And I want to share something about what we do with our cares and pleasures as a pastor. It says, we are not to get entangled with the affairs of this life. And you know, we could look at Proverbs 24:30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man with void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, nettles, and covered with the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Thorns and nettles speak of cares and pleasures. I've been through that. I know what pleasures do. I know what the continual desire to have pleasure. You know, we use that excuse. I've had such a hard time at work. I've had such a hard week. I've had such a hard month. I need to get away from it all. And I want you to know, you're looking at somebody who gets 3 weeks a year vacation. And I've been at the post where I've been at for 33 years, and I've only taken 1 week a year. So you could do your addition. There's 2 weeks that I did not take times 33, so I think I'm due a sabbatical. If that's how we wanted to look at it, all right? But the point is, we want to see that we are not to get entangled with the cares and pleasures of life by any means, all right? These walls that are down, I want you to look at that for a minute. I looked at it, considered it, and the walls were down. You know, in Psalm 87, verse 1, it says that the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Gates. In order to have gates, you have to have a wall. You just can't put a gate up. It'll fall down. So when we're looking at this understanding, I looked at it and I received understanding. Because of the fiddles and the needles and the cares and the pleasures, the wall was broken down. And we need to consider this in our own lives. Zion, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. That means we should have our walls up, sturdy, so that the gates may be there. Otherwise, Jacob was known for wandering, dwelling. It was David who put up the gates at Zion. And we need to understand in our own self that God wants to speak, to do something with us, all right? In Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 28, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down with no walls. We need to have rule over our spirits. It's the Lord who puts the weight on our spirit, and we're going to get to that. It's the Lord who is the one who determines how much weight we have. And if we don't have rule over our spirits, then we're not going to submit to the Lord. When he increases, and he intends to increase, and we need to understand that, and what we want to have, Lord, I want your full weight. I want your full weight to carry on my spirit. Let my spirit be under control, right? Now, we know that God gives a calling to every person. We know that. We can say it's a talent or a calling. And when the Lord has a calling on our life, he is the one who engineers, and he is the one who decides what weight he will put on you. It's the Lord who decides how much weight that goes on us. And we need to be very careful, all right? In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Going along with the same thought, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem, speaking about the Lord. And we need to ask the Spirit of God to give us a steadfastness that we set our face towards Zion, that we set our face towards the Holy of Holies. We set our face to Mount Zion. We set our face like a flint, that we are going up the mountain no matter how much weight the Lord puts on us. We're going to keep pulling. We're going to keep climbing. We got our face set like a flint. It's Zion. It's the Holy of Holies. It's the presence of the Lord. That's what we want. And we need to set our face like a flint. I have had my face change direction because of conflict with the enemy. And now I have it straight. I said, I need to be very, very sure that my spirit is controlled and the Lord's putting the weight on it for a purpose, because there's other things that I'm going to meet and other things that you're going to meet that you've never met before. And we need to have our spirit strengthened. We need to have our spirit strengthened that we will not cave in. and trust the Lord for the, no matter what. So here we are. I want to go on with this little thing. It's our spirits that are tried and true. The Lord's spirit was tried and true. Pastor Bailey's spirit of our founder of the fellowship was tried and true. And that comes down the line. We are to be tried and true. All right? Here we have it. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. As the Lord, no matter what happens, I want to trust you, I want to believe you, and I want to be a soldier in your kingdom, and I want you to have the power to place me in the position that you want. You got it? If we're going to be a soldier in the kingdom, then he can place us in his kingdom where he wants. Our spirit is under control. He has dominion over it. He shares it with us. Now, I want to be looking at something that we prepare in our hearts for, and God is the one who answers, and something happened. You know, we can give up preparation at any time. You know, many people are falling on the wayside, and we can give up. And I believe sometimes we need to understand that when we give up, we lose our eternal position. And our eternal position, and I want to look at that just for a minute, that God has rewards. And these are the things that we want to look for. I said, Lord, I don't want to give up my eternal position. I want to hold steady, all right? Here's something that we want to look at in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul speaking, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. If one was caught up to the third heaven, then there has to be a second heaven, and it has to be a first heaven. And I want to relate that to the tabernacle of Moses. The outer court will be the first heaven. The Holy of Holies will be the second heaven. The third heaven, which Paul was caught up with, we're looking at the Holy of Holies, or those who have overcome around the throne, where I would assume Pastor Bailey is, in the third heaven, around the throne. That's where I feel I'll see him, right? But the point is, we can at any time say to the Lord, I am not going to pull anymore. And when we do that, we might find ourselves in the second heaven for eternity. Or we might find ourselves in the first heaven for eternity. A million years from now. Because we couldn't take the weight of on our spirit, we gave up. We gave up. Oh, we're saved. Saved. Make the first heaven. And you know, we could even be kings and priests and go in and out the outer court, the holy place, and lose our position instead of going on. All because we can't take the weight that God puts us in. Now, I want you to, please, I'm going to share a personal testimony of myself. Please don't look at the dish. Only listen to what I'm saying. All right? Please. Proverbs chapter 17, 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. When we do have a merry heart like medicine, that means we don't have any pain. But you know, these days, medicine affects our spirit and our minds. You take medicine, you be careful. Because too much medicine, it will affect your spirit and your mind. And I'm going to give an illustration. I went to visit, see my granddaughter play soccer. And so it was late. I was down at the field. So I grabbed a chair and ran up a steep hill, got in the car, puffing like an old man that I was, 80, all right, and started the car and went down the hill, came to a stop sign. Well, my turn. Stepped on the gas. Boom. Passed out. Went up the road. I took out a 4x4 concrete thing that tells the man where the end of his house was. I took out two trees that were about 6 to 8 feet. Well, I took them out, and I ended up in his wood pile. Boom. When I woke up, I didn't know if I was in heaven or if I was in hell. I said, where am I? Where am I? Did I make it or did I lose it? And all of a sudden, I felt the pain. I said, oh, something's happened. And then I finally found out that I had a wreck right next to the fire department. So the fire department was here, and the house was there, and there I was, right? So they took me into the hospital. I want to make this real quick. They took me into the hospital, and they didn't know what happened to my head. So for 2 days, they're on my head. They have ESG. They had electrodes on my head. They must have had 1,000 of them. And finally, I said, that's enough. Now, no, take them off, right? Take them off. Couldn't do it. So then they found out that I had a broken back. So they shipped me upstairs. My back had 2 fractured discs, 2 bulging discs, a herniated disc, and they took me upstairs. And I was in a lot of pain. So that night they had me medicated beyond, and the pain was hurting me. I asked for some more and more. So finally it happened. Suddenly, the room turned red plastic, all red. What's am I going to get out of here? It's all red plastic. And I knew the mafia was in the bathroom with guns. They were coming out to kill me. And I'm in this red plastic room. My wife's here somewhere. I got out of the bed with my broken back and went around to try to find my wife. And all I was seeing red plastic. And finally, I reached her hand. Reality came. I said, oh, that's my wife. I had been tripping. All right? I've been tripping. There I was. It was so bad that they were going to call security to calm me down. I was out of it. You know, that's all our church needed, to have their pastor on the page saying that he ruined the hospital with his, you know, outburst. But, you know, I came out of the hospital, and then it brought results to me. They gave me a diagnosis, and they said that I was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I had the disease of Alzheimer's. It was like telling me that I had cancer. You have Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's. Lord, Alzheimer's are deadly. It destroys you. You have Alzheimer's. Well, as time went on, we didn't tell anybody. The only ones that knew that was my wife and I. It's the only ones. For three years, I was under the weight in my spirit of what the Lord put on. I kept pulling. I kept on pastoring. I came up here, did my duties that I was supposed to be doing, sharing, wondering when was it going to come out? When was it going to be manifested that I had Alzheimer's? The doctor met him And he said, you've got about 2 or 3 years, and then it's going to go, you're going to go like this through that time, and then, boom, it's going to go down, and that's going to be it. And, you know, he and I didn't get along too good. He was a Russian doctor, and I have no idea why we bumped heads. But it seemed to me, every time I went to see him the next year, he said, how you doing? Are you still going down, or what are you doing? I said, I am still pastoring. And by the way, I'm on the faculty of a board. I'm going up to teach. He just looked at me. And I said, Lord, I've got to get a new doctor. I said, I'm going to get a new doctor. But you know, I want to go about the pressure of this Alzheimer's. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm going to share along. In Isaiah 48, verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I got out a book that on Alzheimer's that somebody wrote. He was a doctor. He was a psychologist, and he was afflicted with the disease. And I read that whole book about this big and how it affected you. And I would listen to the doctor that I went to tell me how I was doing. He said, I can give you medicine. It will help you for a while. But when the medicine doesn't help you anymore, then it goes down quicker than it would if you did not take the medicine. I said, I will not take the medicine, right? So I went along and I was waiting. He said, you'll know when it goes down when you get embarrassed. I said, oh, thank you. All right. So I'm looking at this situation, and I said, Lord, you required, I can look back at it now, you required me to be in the furnace for 3.5 years, to carry the weight in my spirit, still climbing. I want you to know I was still climbing. I am still climbing today. I did my same positions. I was pastoring, administrator of the business child care center, making decisions and saying, Lord, when is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? What's going to happen to me? I knew all about it. I read about it. I said, Lord, you know, the Lord requires things in our life. He determines how long things are. And patience to me means endurance. But it does not submit to circumstances. Patience means endurance. Oh, I could have submitted. I could have said, pray for me, please. I got Alzheimer's. Pray for me. I'm in bad shape. Put my name up. Pray for me. Anybody with common sense probably would do that. But the Lord said, you say nothing. Just your wife. And so for these years, whatever it was, you would greet me, I would say hello to you, and all these, I'd wonder, I said, do they think I got Alzheimer's? Did I say something wrong? You know, when you're deaf, you're always saying something wrong. You don't hear right, right? So I had to determine, is it because I'm deaf or is Alzheimer's clicking in? I didn't know which it was, but my dear little wife straightened it out, right? So when the Lord requires something, even though I had a wounded spirit, would I remain at God's given post, or would I give in? There was the question. Would I remain at God's given post, or would I give in? I said, well, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, Proverbs 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, forbearance is in the Holy Spirit's power. Forbearance is in the Holy Spirit's power. And, you know, we cannot let circumstances cave us in. We can't let circumstances cause us to give up on the position God has given us. Say, I can't do that anymore. I got Alzheimer's. I'm 80 years old. I've had four major, you know, surgeries. Yes. And you know what? Pastor Wallace would call on the phone, ling, 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 ling. My wife says, it's Pastor Wallace. I said, I don't want to talk to Pastor Wallace. Pastor Wallace is going to tell me he wants me to come up here and teach. I don't want to come up there and make a fool out of myself. I got Alzheimer's. You know, so he says, you know, I got you scheduled to teach. I said, well, what do you mean you got me scheduled to teach? I can't teach. I can't hear. I can't do anything. He said, oh, yes, and the date is such and such. I said, I got to get out of this somehow. So I went to see the president, old friend. I tried my best to persuade him without telling him, listen, you're talking to somebody that has Alzheimer's. I wanted to get excuses, so I made every excuse I could tell him why I can't do any more teaching. And you know what his answer was? We will bear with all of your shortcomings. I said, that didn't work. I still have Alzheimer's, right? So I want to go on and see what the Lord has done. The Lord is so good to me. He is so good to me, all right? At 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. I want to put that in context for myself. The trial of your faith. Trial of your faith. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. I want you to know I learned how to pray new in 3 years. I never knew from the next day to the next whether it would be showtime, manifested, out there, the secret is out, you got this. I wasn't trying to hide it. I wasn't trying to hide it. I'm pastoring, sharing every Sunday, doing my duties. I wasn't trying to hide anything. I'm right out there on display. I said, Lord, it's you. It's you. I'm not going to give in to the circumstances. But you know, we have to, when the trial of your faith, we need to pray, and we need to pray, and we need to pray. And I learned how to pray more than I did before, all right? I want to look at the next verse, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity will cover up a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the end of this situation is at hand. Your trial of faith here at Concord is over. Be sober. Well, Lord, you're going to take me home? Is my time come? The trial of my faith is over? Lord, I know when you speak to me. I know when you speak to me. I know when you speak to me, right? So I was asking, Lord, I said, I must go forward no matter what. What was on my mind all the time these 3.5 years was my inheritance. My inheritance. My inheritance on my mind. Lord, I am going to pull up the mountain no matter what. My inheritance is at stake. I need to continue on, go forward, not backwards, not sideways, not give up. Go forward. Ask the Lord for strength. I ask the Lord for strength every day. Every day I say, Lord, strengthen me, please. Strengthen me, please. All right? Now, good news. Thank the Lord for good news. All right? Good news comes and, oh, my goodness, it was good news. I said, Lord, Nobody's told me I'm crazy yet. No one's told me that I've said the wrong things. No one said that I'm losing it. I need to go see a neurologist. So I made an appointment to see this doctor, neurologist, my wife and I. I said, what's he going to tell me? Is he going to tell me that I'm what I am, Alzheimer's? What's he going to tell me? So we went to an appointment with him, and we had the test, all the tests they give you to see whether you have this or whether you have that. And I'm looking at him. I said, well, I wonder how I did on these tests. You know, they give you some of the things, and you run your backwards, you run your memory, then you give you these little funny little things that you do back and forth, checking out, want to see what you are. At the end, he said, you do not have Alzheimer's. He said, you know, they misdiagnosed you. You had dilemma. I said, yeah, I can believe that. I had dilemma. So, you know, I said, Lord, you're so good to me, all right? I want to know that the Lord preserves us. Preserve me, I'm quoting Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. I want to meet the Lord in heaven. I want to meet him at the finish line. Put my trust in the Lord. Did I put my trust in the Lord going through the test? Yes, I learned to. I put my trust in the Lord every day. I said, Lord, it doesn't make any difference what man has said. You have told me the promises of God, and that hasn't happened yet. And so I asked the Lord for strength every day so that when I went through what I was going through, that I would trust the Lord no matter what. And I want to look at what comes out of this in my own heart. You know, I said, Lord, I know that you have put me through this for a reason. I don't want to, I thank you so much for what you have delivered me from. But I want to look at Ephesians, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I came out of this wanting to be rooted and grounded in love. I want the love of my brethren. I want the love of the Lord's workers. I want to love the unsaved. I want to have the love of God shed abroad in my heart, so that I would be able to have that love being generated. I learned something through that experience. I learned that in order to be one that would be rooted and grounded in love, we would want to be able to serve one another as a servant in love. Not have it be a task, not have it to be something of a burden. But when you love someone, you love to do that for them. And there's going to have to be something in my heart that I would love the nations. I have to love what God loves. There is something that has to be given that I would be a servant. Oh, yes, I am a home mission pastor. Yes, but I'm also a home mission pastor who has a burden for missions. And because of that, we have many opportunities out that we have helped. And we know that when we get to heaven, that the Lord will show us some things that happen because of being mindful of missions. Yes, I'm a home mission pastor. Yes, I know very well that someone will look at me and say, you're not successful. Since you've been there, you've lost 2/3 of your people. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. I want you to share something along with that. Psalm 87, verse 5. It talks about being born in Zion, being birthed in Zion. When we are birthed and born with the message of Zion, we're putting ourselves in the Lord's hands and we're saying, Lord, here I am. I am a proven soldier. Put me where you want me in the warfare that you're involved in. When we are a proven soldier, it means we have been tried and true. We didn't go back for R&R, rest and relaxation. We stayed at our post. We carried the weight. And then I want to go down a little farther about Psalms 87, verse 7. It says, all my springs are in thee. That means water. Water. All the river of God that's going to flow in the last days is going to come through Zion's message. All my springs, all the water that's going to come from the throne of God is going to come down through and flow like a river through us. I am so glad that I have been birthed in Zion. I don't deserve that at all. But the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, they knew what was in my heart. And they knew that when my heart would be tried, that I would be a proven soldier, even though wounded in spirit. Even though wounded in spirit, proven, tried, and true. Lord, increase the weight so that I will be ready at the next conflict that's going to come upon Zion, going to come upon Christianity. Lord, let it be known in my own heart, let it be known in heaven that I want to be a proven soldier. I have one more little verse I want to share. It has to do with what the Lord had given. Years ago, he spoke to me and he said, you will see revival. You will see revival and where you're at. And I said, well, how did that take place? It took place like this. I was at a church, and we were speaking about revival. And what happened, it was refused. And I want to look at this little verse. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Verse 17 through 20. 2 Samuel 5, 17 through 20. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hands. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me. Otherwise, the Lord is the Lord of the breakthrough. We want revival. We're looking for the rivers of God to come from heaven. The Lord is the Lord of the breakthrough. He is the one who gives the breakthrough. We need to pray and we need to inquire. And we need to keep praying. What happened? I was at a church. And when right up on the outside, there was this long thing that said, Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. Somebody got a vision that in the Greek, or Aramaic, I don't know which it was, that had to do with Baal. And they come in, and I was listening to Brother Heyer. They came in with saying that that is Baal, and that is absolutely what we don't want to hear. And you know what happened? The Lord took that out of them, sent me to another place. He said, I'm going to send you to where they want to have a breakthrough. And that's where I'm at. I'm with my one-third who want to have a breakthrough, who are praying for a breakthrough. And you know what happened where I left in the spirit? The Lord came and put the windows and closed the windows all up and said, they are as far spiritual as they'll ever be. Done. You got it? We want to move on. So now, in closing, I want to bring it together. In closing. Well, we got to have brotherly love amongst ourselves, and the Lord gives grace to serve those around us, because you know what? They have dry bones. They have dry bones. They have broken spirits. And they, when you have dry bones and broken spirits, you are nearsighted. You only see what's happening to you. And the Lord wants us to be farsighted. He wants us to look to the future to see what God has in store for Zion, what God has in store for his people. And I mentioned to you about the wall that was broken down, to look at it and consider it well. Now I want to close and look at this little verse in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud as smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. For all the glory shall be a defense. We want a wall around what God has given us. We want a wall around our assemblies. We want the glory of God. We want to see the fire. We want to see the cloud around the assemblies. Well, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because one thing is, it will be our defense. And another thing is, it will be the glory of God that we can understand and see. And you know, no matter what, I'm going to quote this one verse. No matter what, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has performed a good work in you. God has done a good work in Zion Fellowship. He's given us a good foundation. He has asked us, and I am confident of this very thing, that he that has started a good work in us is going to see to it that it is finished, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just like when I was going through 3.5 years of tremendous affliction in my spirit. Oh, I wanted to give up, but I asked the Lord for strength every day. That was taken out of my spirit. I didn't want to give up. I was just waiting to see what was going to happen. You know, and I was very confident of something. Lord, you told me that if I left that work and came over here, that I would see revival. That's your promise. And Lord, I'm holding on to that promise. I'm confident of that very thing that has been birthed in me, the message of Zion. Oh, it burns in me. It's a message that needs to go out to the nations, that all my springs, all the water of the Spirit of God are in to go to the nations. That's where it is. We've been birthed in Zion for a reason. And I am confident that Zion is where I want to finish at the finish line. I want to meet the Lord there at the finish line, and I want to hear what he has to say. Right? I don't want to go to the first heaven. I don't want to go to the second heaven. I have no idea if I'll ever qualify to go to the third heaven. But it's still there in front of us. We still have an opportunity. All we have to do is keep pulling God's weight in our spirit. I'll never give up. Amen? Amen.